Let's return this morning to Romans 8. Because things changed a bit this week. I forgot to welcome our live stream participants this morning. Good to have you with us. May God bless you as we open the scriptures together, sing God's praises. Because of changes this week, I also had to change my plans a bit. So we'll speak about suffering leading to glory this morning, Lord willing, and then a biblical perspective on the glory of suffering, the blessings of suffering this afternoon from 2 Corinthians 1. So may the Lord speak to us through his word and by his spirit. Romans 8, page 1122. Let's start to read at verse 12, and we'll read through verse 27. Our text is verses 18 through 27. Just before that famous verse in 28, and we know, for those who love God, all things work together for good. Lord willing, we can look at that next week. Verse 12, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is then being led by the Spirit to put your sins to death. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives. We look at the theme of groanings this morning, the three groanings of Romans 8, 18 through 27. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. When we believe in Jesus, he fills us with his Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, but in that last section, the Spirit of adoption, who encourages us to use our adoption privileges and to come to the Father, to pray, and to trust his promises that they're for us. And he witnesses in us, with our spirit, our inner spirit, that we're the children of God. And he says, if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So the Holy Spirit in us causes us to look ahead, way ahead to the future, where we enter into all the inheritance that God our Father has for us. beautiful paradise of heaven on earth, where God dwells with us and we with him, and he is all in all, and we have perfect fellowship with all the saints. And there's nothing to harm or destroy in all God's holy mountain. What a thing to look forward to. And then you have that last line, which is a bit of a downer at the end of verse 17. Provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. If you're a believer and you belong to Jesus, then his blood has covered you and his spirit fills you. And the Spirit's journey for you is to go to glory, to the inheritance God has for you, but through suffering. And if you don't accept suffering, and some false Christians say, Christians aren't supposed to suffer. We're children of the king. Children of the king don't suffer. Ridiculous. That's not Christianity. That false prosperity, health, and wealth gospel. No, the Spirit says, there's the goal. It's yours. It gives us confidence. That's the spirit of adoption. The Father's home is where you're going. But it's not an easy road to get there. As Jesus went to the crown through the cross, as imitators of him, those who've been saved by him and are joined to him, he calls us to go to the crown through a cross. And that's where the groaning comes in this chapter. I don't know if you noticed as we read through, but there are three different parties who are groaning in Romans 8, 18 through 27. Did you take note of which three they are? Well, I'm not going to tell you in advance because we're just going to talk about the first groaning, and then I'll name it, and then the second groaning, and then I'll name it, and then the third groaning. The first groaning. The first groaning. Read with me again at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Who's the first one that's groaning here in this passage? Did you see it? Creation. The whole creation is creaking on its hinges. It's under the law of entropy. It is winding down. But notice first about this groaning of all three parties. Verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, about which we're groaning, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It's a groaning unto glory. Creation's groaning too. It's a groaning unto glory. You know, there's two ways to groan when we have suffering. There's a groaning that grumbles, that complains, that doesn't believe in God. A groaning that despairs and says, this is not worth it. For the non-Christian, the one not joined to Jesus Christ, it's a groaning that leads to death. There's really two types of groaning. You can have the groaning of a dying man. Or you can have a groaning of a woman in labor. There are two very different groanings. One is a groaning unto death. And if you don't believe in Jesus, your groaning is going to take you down to eternal groaning. You do not want to groan alone, brothers and sisters, people of God. You are listening today. If you're not joined to Jesus by faith, if Jesus is just a name on your lips but not a person who lives in your heart. Your groaning is not leading to glory, but to an eternal groaning, suffering, and misery. So if your faith is not real, today is the day of salvation. Trust in him, and he transforms your groaning to a different kind, a groaning of as a woman in labor, a groaning that's leading to joy, to new life, new creation. And that's the way the creation is groaning. As in the pains of childbirth, the Bible says. So verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed. We groan, but it's a longing for glory. We groan as those who know that when you compare them, put them on a scale, the suffering that you're going through in this life, and there's all kinds of it. Everybody. There's a heartache in every pew. There's a heartache in every person. There's a heartache in every life of some kind. But when you compare the sufferings of this present time, dear believer, to the glory that's going to be revealed to you, there's no comparison. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. When you put it on the scale with the glory that's coming, then the sufferings go all the way up. There's no weight. And the eternal weight of glory is where all the weight is. So remember that, brothers and sisters, in our groaning and the creation's groaning, to look at it in faith. This is a groaning connect. I'm connected to Jesus in my groaning. Where did his groaning lead him to? Up or down? Heaven, where he sits at God's right hand in perfect glory. Groaning. Now notice the creation's groaning here. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. This glory is going to be revealed to us. And the creation waits with eager longing is a verb that means stands on its tiptoes. It's reaching forward. Can't wait to see the sons of God, the people of God glorified. Because you know when Adam and Eve fell, that's when creation came under a curse. That's when it was subjected to futility. And entered into bondage to corruption, not by Adam, but the one who subjected it. That's God. God is the one who put the world under a curse, thorns and thistles. And it's groaning, creaking on its hinges under that curse. But God subjected it in hope. In hope that one day, Adam and Eve will be redeemed. And then creation will be redeemed with them. Yeah. So creation is waiting on its tiptoes, straining forward to what's ahead for it. That when man is redeemed, then creation will be redeemed along with it on that day when Jesus returns. Oh, it'll be an awesome day when he returns to judge the living and the dead. He'll raise up his people. And then when creation sees his people raised up with glorious bodies, then the earth and its works will be burned as well and be made new, totally new. So creation is groaning. The whole creation, notice how he puts that, is groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? The groaning of creation. Jesus mentioned wars and rumors of wars. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Famine, earthquakes. He says these are about the beginning of birth pangs. Groaning, poverty, drug epidemics, crime, pollution, tyrannical governments, slavery, Dutch elm disease, the ash borer, rootworm, fungus, mold, groaning, rain coming, dikes breaking, floods coming, groaning. Can you hear it? It's all over. It's loud. We feel it. All of creation is groaning. In the pains of childbirth until now. And will continue to do so until Jesus returns on that great and glorious day. It's not just a day when God's people will be saved. But creation will be, in that sense, saved or renewed. God's not giving anything up to the evil one when he sent his son. He's saving all his people and he's saving his whole creation, the heavens and the earth. Wow. But that's the first groaning. The groaning of creation for glory. It's of course, creation can't think and can't feel, although the animals do. But this is creation personified, represented as a person, teaching us how to groan. That's why it's put this way. The first groaning, creation groaning, not in grumbling and unbelief, but groaning for glory. Teaching us how to groan. Secondly, look at verse 23, and not only the creation. But we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit lives in us as the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, says Ephesians 1. The first fruits was the guarantee in the Old Testament that the rest of the harvest was on the way. 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday is the first fruits of our resurrection. So the Spirit lives in us guaranteeing that will not slip and fall away from that. That Jesus is the first fruits for us, and where our resurrection's coming. So, not only that, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. Groan inwardly, wait eagerly. That tells us what faith groaning looks like. Groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. Yes. Whoever believes has already become a child of God. You've already got your adoption. But the fullness of those adoption privileges in the Father's home in heaven are still coming. And that's what we're waiting for, the finished product of that adoption. Groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Are your bodies groaning, creaking on their hinges? Your body here, though, refers to, as he's been referring to it in Romans 7 and 8, who will rescue me from this body of death, your whole life, earthly life. We ourselves groan, it says, as we wait for the redemption of our bodies, as we wait for all the problems to be solved and all the broken things to be fixed. Because so much of life cannot get fixed. So much of life is about coping in faith and waiting, waiting, waiting. Sometimes God will give us temporary deliverance or reprieve now. But there are times when, like Paul, prays for the removal of the thorn from his flesh, and God answers him and says, no, no. My power is being magnified through your weakness. You just wait on me. I will carry you through. Waiting. Groaning. inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Think of the groaning of the believers. This is speaking particularly of we ourselves as Christians. Our persecuted brethren around the world crying out to God. A loved one has been thrown into prison. 15 of our loved ones still in hostage, being held hostage in Haiti. 2 have been released. Praise the Lord. But what about the others? Persecution, mental illness, depression, the instability of our minds, and the darkness that can overcome us. Do you groan? Cancer. Fear of cancer returning. The C word, groaning. And then treatments that come with that often. And surgeries. Arthritis. Rheumatism. Groaning. Literal groaning. Parkinson's disease. Aching joints and crying over abuse and bullying. Groaning. Crying over lost children, groaning. Family heartache, strained relationships, struggle with sinful desires. Trying to put down those same-sex attractions. Looking at another woman lustfully, trying to put that down. Trying to get rid of that anger issue where you flare up too quickly. Groaning. Worry, fighting with worry. Financial worry, worry about the body, worry about so many things, groaning. It's all over, written all over our lives, isn't it? But it's not a groaning that grumbles. And if it is a groaning that's becoming complaining, we have to recalibrate and we have to refocus and remember this. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. Keep that in mind. Put that in perspective. Say, this is nothing compared to the glory that's coming. Or you might say it this way. An ounce of suffering is worth tons of glory. Because Paul says actually in 2 Corinthians that these light and momentary afflictions are actually achieving for us a weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory. God is actually turning those things around, those awful things, and making them promotions, preparing us, leading us closer. Every suffering is a step closer to glory. For in this hope we were saved, 26. Or 25 and 26. In this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? For what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Our lives can be so fleshly and earthy, and earthly and worldly. We want all our dreams to be realized in this life. And if I don't get what I long for now, then I'm going to give up on God. I'm going to give up on Jesus because he doesn't deliver. He is a waste of time. He's not meeting my needs. It's a typical Western way of life, isn't it? I've got to have all my dreams and all my pleasures and all the happiness I ever want and all the things on my bucket list, all the earthly things. That's life, and I need that now or I don't have a life. Oh, please. That's not life. Hope. Hope is about knowing that the real life is not here yet. And we're also with creation, standing on tiptoes, straining forward to what's coming, eagerly waiting for it. If you live for this life, you're miserable. Because what this life offers is so trite and small. C.S. Lewis said, you're looking to muck around in little puddles when God has an ocean of glory waiting for you. So in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? That's not hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory, says Colossians 1. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For our lives are hid with Christ, or with God in Christ. And when Christ, your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory, Colossians 3. That's the second groaning. We ourselves groan. Brothers and sisters, do you live for the life to come? That's the pilgrim life. Do you live for the life to come? Or are you living for the here and now? One of the advantages of suffering is that we're put more in line with the real meaning of life, not to live for the here and now, but to look for the better that's coming. One of the disadvantages of a more affluent life, like in Western society, is that it's easy to get lost in stuff and amusements. And to forget that this is nothing. This holds nothing for you compared to what God has for you. Let's look forward. C.S. Lewis put it this way. Only those who are heavenly minded can be of any earthly good. Only when your hope is bigger than this world can you really be helpful in this world and help others understand what the meaning of life is and how to live happily. You can't really be happy or content with your possessions unless you don't trust in them and you trust in the Lord instead, right? So that's the way to live happily, is not to trust in these things that can't give you happiness, but to wait with eager expectation, to have your hope above and ahead. Then the third groaning. 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with, there's the third one, groanings, too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is utterly beautiful. Where does the third groaning come from? You catch it? First one is creation. The whole creation groans together until now. The second one is we ourselves, believers. The third one is the Holy Spirit. Did you think of him being one who groans? The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, how does this connect? As we groan, says Paul in verse 26, the longings we have for things to be repaired, to be fixed, to be good again, for God to be all in all and us to see things as we should and to live as we should, that longing sometimes is so deep we don't even know how to put it into words. And then the Spirit of adoption who lives within us takes our groanings upon himself and groans for us before God. Isn't that lovely? He groans, takes our groaning. So the third groaning is really a companion of the second one. He takes our groanings, puts them into words, and brings them to the Lord so they become his own groanings on our behalf. We have an intercessor in heaven, Jesus, who's praying for us constantly. But Jesus has given us an internal intercessor, an advocate within, who's taking our longings, our aches and pains of soul and body. And sometimes we can put words on them, but even when we do, it's like, I can't nearly say it like it is, Lord. But the Holy Spirit can say it like it is. It's lovely. In 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, because he is divine, he's fully God, he's a member of the Trinity, totally, fully deeps, searches the deep things of God and knows the mind of God. He totally knows the mind of God because he's infinite. At the same time, the Spirit lives in us and he knows your whole mind, even the parts of your mind you don't understand. And then it says, he who searches hearts, that's God the Father, knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Wow, there's quite a circle there. So he who searches hearts, God the Father, knows the mind of the Spirit, knows exactly what the Spirit is thinking about and yearning for in us, and raising up according to the will of God. Sometimes our groanings aren't even pure, but the Spirit purifies them. So when they go up from him, it's according to the will of God. He's taken out all the junk. And only the pure desire goes up. So, that's a good reason to be confident in prayer. Not because we're such good prayers, but the Spirit takes it and reshapes it. And then it goes through the blood of Christ in heaven, the mediation of Jesus. And by the time it gets to the Father, there is nothing wrong with it. The Spirit groans. We need to have confidence, brothers and sisters, that our imperfect prayers and our deep longings, not one of them is vain because of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And because of him, every prayer you raise, every feeling you have, every longing, is not wasted, but gets there, arrives, and will one day be answered. One day will be answered. Verse 18 is really the answer to 26 and 27. I know that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Why will it be revealed? God the Father, through God the Son, in the Spirit's power, will guarantee it. And that's the reason for so much confidence in Romans 8 for groaning people. Wretched man that I am, Romans 7 man. Groaning person that I am, Romans 8. But yet we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We're going to get there, Lord willing, 37. And we may know for sure that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're groaning for glory. Are you groaning for glory? Through Jesus, by the Spirit, you are. Let's trust him and put our full confidence in that hope of glory that's on the way for sure. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you've sent your Spirit to groan in us and for us. And through his power, we pray that you will answer all our prayers and help us to wait for the answer, to live in hope. And those who have no hope, help us to walk with them and invite them to this hope that's found only in Jesus Christ, the hope of everlasting life. Father, use this passage through the spirit of adoption to give us much confidence to live for the Lord day by day in these times, in the sufferings of the present time. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.